Matthew chapter 14, 13, excuse me, and verse 47. And then if you want to go ahead and turn over to after that, if you want to keep your finger there. And if you want to get prepared ahead of time, turn over to Luke chapter 5. So we start off in Matthew chapter 13, and then we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 5. And once you find that, if you want to go ahead and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 13, verse 47. Jesus speaking here, the Bible says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away." And then go and turn over to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you want to read along with me, read the evens, I'll read the odds, and Luke chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Verse 7, it says, And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was anointed, and all that were with him, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning. Lord, we ask you, dear God, that this would be a time that would be a profitable time for us, Lord. We are here this morning on purpose. We're in our place and got ready. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak through me, Lord, and that this time would be a time that would be beneficial to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, go ahead and take your Bibles again. Turn back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we'll kind of set this story up here. And we'll figure out what's going on. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Let's look at it again. The story portrayed here, it says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God,
Wouldn't that be great? It'd be great if we had a society that would press to hear the Word of God. I dare say things would be a little different, wouldn't you? I dare say our trouble that we've been having lately in the school systems might be a little different. Maybe the trouble we've been having a little bit in our government might be a little different. Maybe the trouble with the divorce rate in our homes might be a little different. We'd just kind of be like this, where people would desire and hope to serve God, want to have something to do with Him. You know where that begins? Doesn't begin out there. Doesn't begin in the schools. Doesn't begin in the government. But it begins right here with you. It begins with you. And so that's just a side point. That's not even my message, but I thought it was good. Amen? That was good stuff right there. Amen. Okay. All right. We have the story here. People are pressing on Jesus. And verse 2 it says, And Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed to him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ships. Okay, so we got Jesus being surrounded by a great throng or crowd of folks. And there's so many of them that they're beginning to crowd Him. And He's beginning to get backed up against the lake. Maybe he's wearing his sandals and his feet are starting to get wet and he's starting to get a little muddy and there's just, the people are so interested to hear what Christ had to say that they were just pressing against Him and kind of crowding Him. Well, Jesus, in this kind of predicament, He sees two empty boats sitting on the shore. And He gets an idea, and He looks at the boats and looks them over and sees that they're seaworthy. And He looks over and He sees some men off in the distance cleaning their nets. They were scrubbing them, maybe scrubbing the barnacles that got on them or the algae or the seaweed that got on them, cleaning them up. And they were probably repairing them also, fixing the holes in them. And they were getting ready because they just come from an all-night fishing trip. And Jesus sees these men, and He says to Simon Peter, who is the main guy or the owner of one of the ships, and He says to him, Simon, I'd like to use your boat. Can we go out into the middle of the lake, and so I can get some room, and so all the people can see me and hear me? So Simon, sure enough, he drops his net, and he gets in the boat, and they row out into the middle of the lake. And you picture Jesus Christ out in the middle of the lake. And you know the thing that I like the most about this story? What does it say Jesus did? It says that He sat down and taught them. So I think I'm going to do that this morning. Where did it come from that we got to stand while we preach? Jesus Christ sat down and He taught them. He began to preach to them. And the people listened and a message was given. And then I want you to notice the next thing that happened. Look in verse 4. Verse 4, it says, Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Let's look at Simon's response. It says, And Simon answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And then I want you to notice his response. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. The title of my message tonight is, Why does God command a response to an invitation? Why does God command a response to an invitation? You ever wonder why, and if you've come to, since this is a Baptist church, I'll say, if you've come to a Baptist church, you ever wonder why, after a lot of the sermons or a lot of the services, there is a time that's given that's called an invitation time? It kind of starts out where we'll have it today. The preacher will end his message and he'll pray. And the way I do it is I'll usually have you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. And I'll ask you a question and in response to the sermon, and I'll ask you to make a decision. I'll ask you to respond to what has been preached. And usually what we'll do is we'll have the music play and I'll usually stand out front here and people will come down and they'll pray and then they'll talk to God and make decisions. You ever wonder why we do that? How many of you have ever wondered that? You wonder why do we have an invitation? Or how many of you just said, oh, that's just what we do? How many of you ever thought that? Oh, that's just what we do. Y'all are afraid here this morning to raise your hand. How many of you, you awake? How many of you say, well, that's just what we do on Sunday mornings. We have an invitation. Go ahead and raise your hand like you're in school. Pretend that we're in school for now. All right, go ahead. Okay, yeah. All right, how many of you have ever, sometime in your life, you've ever wondered, why do we have an invitation? What's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of having an invitation? Okay, and I'm going to try to teach you this morning, preach to you a little bit this morning on why we have an invitation at the end of a service. What's the purpose of it? Believe it or not, the service is designed or patterned for a purpose. This service is, you know, we've got the songs and we've got the announcements and then we've got the special music and then we've got the preaching, and it all culminates to a response. Okay. Think about it like this. When you came in this morning, you sat down, and Brother Joe got up here, and he said, oh, it's good to have you here, and how you folks doing? What did he wanted a response. And somebody said, oh, yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. Doing good. And then Brother Joe said, okay, if you have your songbooks, turn to song number 147. And once you find that, go and stand with me, please. He wanted you to respond. He wanted you to stand up, get your book, and sing. All right, and then you sat down, and then we had some more announcements, and then we had another song, and you stood up and sat down a couple times, and then you listened to me preach, and you listened to me. You're sitting here right now, and you're listening to me preach, and folks, it's all designed for a response. And let me say to you, we didn't make this up. Some guy back in the old ages or whatever didn't just sit down and say, okay, let me come up with an idea of how to run a church service. No, it's all patterned after what Jesus Christ has done. It's all patterned after the examples that he has given us. And folks, every time that I read in the Bible or I listen to the life of Jesus Christ, everything that he did was for a purpose. Everything that he did was for a purpose. He just didn't go through life without a purpose because he realized he only had a short time on this world and he had to make everything count. And folks, that's why we come to church. You came here for a purpose, didn't you? Came here to hopefully get something? Came here to hear the Word of God preached? Very least, came here to try to be obedient to the Word of God and trying to keep the Sabbath day holy and trying to show your respect to God and give some time out of your life to Him and show that you're concerned about Him. You did it on purpose. And so what good would it be to come into this building and sing a few hymns and listen to some special music and listen to some announcements and then listen to me get up here and preach and maybe raise my voice and go back and forth and back and forth, then at the end for it to yield nothing. It'd be a waste, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a waste for you to get up this morning and you men, you got all ready and you combed your hair and you brushed your teeth and you ate something and you got in your car and you drove here and you ladies, you did the same thing and your kids maybe came on the bus? Or wouldn't it be a waste if you did all that for no reason? Would it be? It'd be a waste. What would be the purpose of us sitting here today in these seats and we're listening to me preaching, but at the end for there to be no change, there'd be nothing. It'd be a waste. It'd be useless. be no different than sitting down in front of a television screen and just watching some nonsense. But folks, the thing that makes this different than maybe sitting in your living room at home or sitting in front of the TV at home and watching a program is it solicits a response. It solicits a decision. And we'll find that here. Let's look back again in Luke chapter 5. And I want you to see where our services are based upon. What the purpose of this whole thing is based upon is very simply put by Jesus in Luke chapter 5. And let's look at verse 4 again. It says, "Now when he had left speaking, Jesus, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw." Jesus Christ asked Simon Peter to go out into the middle of the lake and to let down his nets. Now, you read the story, Simon says to Jesus Christ, "Jesus, we had just been fishing all night. We've been out in this lake all night long, and we've caught nothing." Now, I don't know about you guys or even ladies, how many of you have ever been fishing for a long time? Okay, how many of you ever been fishing and you caught nothing? I've done that many a time in my life. How fun is it to fish and catch nothing? It's not fun. It's well, maybe for a little bit. It's relaxing, I suppose. But we don't go fishing to catch nothing. We go fishing to catch something. And I was just thinking about this. You and I will go fishing for 2 or 3 hours, and we'll cast our pole in the water there for maybe about 20 seconds of a thrill. The real one fishing will wait 2 or 3 hours. And so this is what Simon Peter has just gotten through. He was out in the lake all night long, sitting in a boat with nets in the water. And they take those nets and they throw them out in the lake, and then they pull them back in, and hopefully they catch something, and they throw them out again, pull them back in, over and over again, throwing them out, pulling them in, throwing them out, pulling them in, throwing them out, pulling them in. And they were tired. And they'd done that all night long. Maybe it was cold, maybe it was rainy, and I'm sure they were wet, and I'm sure they were tired. And they just come in the morning, and they were sitting on the shore, and they were mending their nets, scrubbing them and washing them and repairing the holes and getting them ready for the next fishing trip. But they've just spent all night long with no results. Then Jesus comes along in the morning, and he preaches to a crowd. And after he's done preaching, he says to Simon, he says, "Simon, get this now. I invite you to go out into the lake and let your nets down." He invitations Simon. He asks him. He's soliciting a response. Simon could have said, "Hey," and he did. He said, "Jesus, I've been fishing all night long. I've been casting my net out. I toil all night long. I'm tired. I'm wet. I'm hungry, and I don't really feel like it." But the key that separated Simon out was, if you look, verse 5, he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my net." He responds. Responds to Jesus' invitation, folks. Jesus Christ just finished preaching a sermon. Jesus says to Simon, "Hey, I got a question for you to respond to. What are you going to do? You going to respond?" And then Simon made a critical decision, folks. He said, "I will. I'll do it." And we looked at the result. Let's look again. Let's finish it up. Verse 6, it says, "I will let down the net." In verse 6 it says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. So they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And when they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink, Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." A great response to the decision Simon made. Wouldn't you agree? Now, I thought about this. I've heard this story many a times, but you think about even today, how much do you think those fishes were worth that Simon caught? You ever think about that? You fill up a boat with fish, even today, that's worth a lot of money. You think about, you see those shows on TV where they're catching all the fish there's one out there where they're catching crabs they're trying to fill their boat up with all that seafood. It's worth a lot of money. And folks, Simon Peter, just his decision, I'm not preaching prosperity Christianity here, but I'm trying to teach you this thing that our God owns everything and there's nothing that's impossible for him to do. But it all hinges on your response to his invitation. It all hinges on that. Simon could have said, I'm tired. Maybe next time. Maybe next time, Lord. Maybe tomorrow. Hey, let's set up an appointment. I'm going fishing tomorrow. You want to come with me? But Simon humbled himself and heard the word of God and he responded to the word of God. And it was such a great, I would have loved to see that, wouldn't you? You see these guys out there, and they're all tired, and they're slowly rowing out and letting down their nets, and all of a sudden, the boats begin to sink, and they're pulling all these fishes, and what a commotion and an excitement it would have been to see that take place. Now, let's bring it to our lives today. You and I, we don't have the opportunity to walk with Jesus Christ physically. If you do, if you tell me, I'd love to meet him. But we don't have the ability to walk with Jesus Christ as Simon Peter walked with Christ. We don't have the ability as the disciples sat down and ate with Jesus Christ, and the people of that day were able to see him performing miracles and hear him preach from his mouth. We don't have that ability today. But what we do have today is what was left for us. It's called the Word of God. That's what's left for us. And folks, what we do have is we do have his words recorded for us in book form so that we can have them too. We don't have the ability to go fishing with Jesus Christ like Simon did. But let me say it, we still have the ability to hear those same words spoken to us, just as Simon did. And we still have the ability to respond to the Word of God, just as Simon did. Let me tell you how. Folks, it's through preaching of the Word of God. It's on Sundays. Sunday nights, Wednesdays. That's why every service that this thing is highlighted, this Word of God is highlighted, and this is the purpose of coming to church, and this is the purpose of Sunday school and Wednesday Bible study. That's why that this is the purpose, because this is where the change is going to take place in your life. You'll not be changed by me leading the hymns, and you'll not be changed by the special music. But let me say something. If you respond to this and you keep your heart open, I'll guarantee you that there will be a change. Amen. Well, we know that because the Bible says God's word will not return void. There'll always be a result to the word of God. Okay? Folks, that's why we have an invitation at the end of just about every service at a church. A lot of people think, and I was born in New England. I grew up in New England. I can say that I know most of the mentality of a lot of folks who are in New England. A lot of people think that this is like for the bad people. You ever thought that? Yeah. A lot of people think, wow, you know, so-and-so is going to the altar today. They must have had a rough week this week. There she goes again, or there he goes again. Yeah, he's a bad person. But it's much the opposite, folks. What do you think of Peter responding to the Word of God? We read it today and we say, man, that was a great, great man. Peter was a man of a lot of faith. Peter was a man of a lot of belief and trust in God. We elevate him and say, man, he was such a good Christian. Yet somewhere today we get it mixed up and we twist it around and we put Peter in a lowly and, oh, we don't want to be like him. Oh, we feel sorry for him. No. Peter was a great man of God. He had a lot of faith in the Lord. Folks, coming to the altar after service is not a bad thing. I'm going to say that to you. It's not a bad thing. To be honest with you, this is not a place that should be feared. Maybe a little fearful because you're stepping out of your seat and maybe something like that, but it's not a place to be feared because, ooh, you know, I'm going to be thought of as a bad person. No, this is not a bad place. It's a great place. Folks, this is simply a place to respond to the Word of God. Amen. It's simply a place to talk to God. Simply a place to make a decision for the Word of God. Let's go back to Peter. What would you think of Peter if when Jesus said to Peter, he just finished preaching a sermon, he just finished preaching to this big crowd of people, and then he goes to Peter and he says, I'm going to invite you to respond, go out into the deep and let down your nets. What would you think of Simon Peter if he just sat there and just looked at Jesus? Jesus said, hey, Simon, did you hear me? I'm going to invite you. Come on out. Let's go out into the deep. Let's let down our nets. What would you think? What would you think of if just Simon just sat there, just kind of no response? Just sat, maybe he looked like a Christian. Maybe he looked holy. Maybe he was just, you know, smile on his face. Maybe he looked down, you know, pretended like he was praying. What if he just looked down and he started to pray? What would you think of Simon Peter if he did that and Jesus Christ was speaking to him? What's wrong with him? Is he all right? Is he listening to him? Is he okay? Is he need a doctor? He said, there's something wrong with Simon. Why isn't he responding to Jesus Christ? Why isn't he making a decision? Why isn't he answering him? But folks, the same thing, you and I, we'll think nothing of it. We'll hear the Word of God preached. We'll hear the Word of God read. And we'll hear a sermon preached that was based upon the Word of God. And you and I will think nothing of just, or maybe standing. Oh, man, I can't wait. This is over. Man. After all, the Red Sox are playing tonight. I got to get stuff ready for the game tonight. This is the big game. You know, they're going to be knocked out, you know, if they don't win. Ah, man, jeez. Oh, geez, oh, man. Yeah, we look at Simon and say, man, that guy's a dirty, rotten varmint. Why doesn't he respond to the Christ? That's Jesus Christ, after all. But folks, you and I have the same words that Simon heard, and we have them today. Folks, it kind of puts into perspective the importance of responding to the Word of God. You know, I think the problem is, and I've thought about this a lot, and maybe I'm probably guilty of it myself, is, folks, you and I will tend to respect the person instead of what's being said. Or maybe I should say we tend to respect the person instead of the position. We'll tend to put more credibility on the person than on the position that they hold. You ever catch yourself doing that? Kind of like the position of the president. Maybe we don't agree with a certain president, but we should still respect him because he's the president. Make sense? Or maybe we don't like a certain police officer in town, but we should still respect him because he's a police officer. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing, folks. And I'm not saying this to glorify me in any way, shape, or form, because I don't want it. But I'm saying, look at what Simon would have missed out on if he didn't respond to the Word of God. How many of you say, yeah, it's a big thing that he would have missed out on. He would have missed out on a great blessing. He would have never, his faith probably wouldn't have been as strong as it was. You know, as soon as that started, he bowed his knees and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Such a great thing he would have missed out, folks. And I think time in and time again, you and I, especially because we're confronted with it all the time. We're confronted with an invitation just about almost every service. Invitation, 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 invitation. And it becomes old hat to us. It becomes routine. Because, wow, we're used to it all the time. That's just part of what we do. That's just, you know, just as we sing three songs and have an offering and have announcements, we have an invitation. It's just part of the service. And it becomes nothing more than a routine. Now, folks, you know, I can think of a lot of other churches that are based upon routines. A lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. All they are is a tradition and a routine, and there's no relationship, and there's no realness, and there's no life-changing. I don't want that. I don't think you do either. I don't think you want just a useless routine that has no benefit on your life and has no change on your life and has no effect upon your heart. You want something that's going to make a difference and something that's going to be real. Let me tell you how that's going to happen is by responding to the Word of God. Responding. I'm going to make another statement here. This, the Bible, is useless unless you respond to it.
Amen.
This is no, and maybe some of you might feel different, but that'll have no effect on you unless you respond to it. No, it's no effect. My preaching and the Word of God and the speaking of the Holy Spirit in your heart will have no effect unless you respond to it. It'll be a waste. Useless. And so, folks, I wanted to kind of preach to you today a little bit about why it is so important to respond to the Word of God. Folks, it's no different than if Simon Peter were to just sit there in that boat when Jesus was saying, hey, let's go out into the deep. Let's let down our nets. And Simon would just sit there. Maybe bow his head and start praying. Not making any decision, not making any response, not heeding the Word of God, but just, I'm praying. Or stand there just with a smile on his face or solemn. Would they sign it? What's wrong with you? We shake him. Hey, wake up. You know who's talking to you? You know who's speaking to you? It's Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. Come on, wake up. Respond to Him. Folks, it's no different than us today. We're no different. Simon wasn't he was just a regular guy. But he responded to the Word of God. And I would urge you today to respond to the Word of God. Let me look at, let me read something to you. Another way that Peter responded. You have to turn there. I'll read it to you in Matthew chapter 14. This is pretty cool too. Peter's saying, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Bible says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And verse 25 says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And let's look at Peter's response again to Christ. Jesus just said to the disciples, hey, don't be afraid, don't be worried. It says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And look at it, and I'll read to you. It says in verse 29, it says, and Jesus said, and he said, come. Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, I've never met anybody that could walk on the water. Have you? Never met anybody that could walk on the water, but Peter did. Why? Because he responded to the Word of God. He responded to the Word of God. And I think, folks, why Peter was able to accomplish such a great amount in his life for the cause of Christ. Peter was by no means a perfect man. We know that if we study the life of Peter. He was by no means a perfect Christian. But God is looking for people to respond to His Word. Looking for people to respond. And I think Peter had a handle on that. He wasn't afraid to respond to the Word of God. He wasn't ashamed to respond to the Word of God. He did it. When you look in those two instances, great things were accomplished in Peter's life by just simply responding to the Word of God. I want to read another verse to you. It's in Matthew again, chapter 13. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it real quick. We read it already. Bible says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that is cast in the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast away the bad. Folks, God is not looking for perfect people to respond to Him for His invitation. Can I tell you why? Because He won't have anybody respond. Jesus Christ is looking for people like you and me to respond to His Word. People like you and I. Every time you don't respond to the Word of God, let me say, it's no different than if Peter were to just sit there or stand there. Or if he would just nod his head. No decision. No decision. No change. Just. And folks, that's what you and I do. And I think, I really believe it's because we've got an invitation all the time. It becomes old hat. It becomes routine. Part of the schedule, and we forget why we have an invitation. It's to respond. It's for those that are seeking salvation, and it's for those who have gotten saved and want to make a decision on the Word of God. It's a response. It's a response. I would urge you today, you came out here for a purpose. You got ready? Don't be like Simon in verse 5 where it says, I've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Don't go through the whole rigmarole and the whole routine to get you here and be like Simon and say, Lord, I've taken nothing. Because all that breeds is discouragement and frustration. And your faith will get smaller and smaller and smaller. Strengthen your faith like Peter and respond to the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we all came here on purpose. We all got ready and maybe set our alarm clocks and got everything prepared the night before that we had to. And Lord, we're here, we're sitting in the services, and we've listened to the Word of God preached, and we heard some portions of Scripture read to us, and a lot of it being Your Word that You spoke to Peter back almost 2,000 years ago, Lord. And I pray that we as Christians today would realize that we are no different than Simon Peter. We may be different clothing and different language, and maybe 2,000 years later and different technology, but we are just as much a sinner and as Simon was, Lord. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you could. Go ahead and stand up right now, and heads bowed, eyes closed. Now is the time, if you would like, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't remember a time in your life where you asked Jesus,